the prophet Micah is just one of a long line of prophets. You actually could open your Bible to Isaiah. I think it's Isaiah chapter 2. And these exact words are there, word for word. So they actually had a shared vision. Maybe they had a shared source that they're both quoting. Maybe these were the words to a song, right? It's written in poetry, so it's hard to tell sometimes when you open the Bible, because the music's not there anymore, obviously. Maybe these were the words of a song. Maybe Micah was the Michael Jackson of his day, and they were just quoting, you know, we are the world. Let them beat their plowshares into, or their swords into plowshares. So, yeah, when I think about ahead of time when I'm getting ready for the summer, and, you know, I like to do some of these themes, and we've done Beach Boys, and we've done the Beatles, and I thought, yeah, let's have a Michael Jackson Sunday, mostly to celebrate We Are the World and some of the prophetic vision that he had for the world. I want to begin with a conundrum that confronted me about 2 weeks ago when I saw a post in the internet. I didn't read it very far because it was the internet. But there's a reference to the fact that they released some documents that were found during the investigation of Michael Jackson after his death about the ranch where he lived. And they found, you know, a collection of child pornography and some other things that was very damning and not very pleasant to read about. And I thought, oh, man, and we're going to have a Michael Jackson Sunday. you know, I think about that with a heavy heart. I don't know if it's true. I wouldn't refute it as truth. But so why would I go on and have a Michael Jackson Sunday? And I'm reminded that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's one thing. But prophets and poets in particular sometimes live tortured lives, have tortured souls. That's what makes them prophets. They're sensitive to the heartbeat of the world. Micah was sensitive to the heartbeat of the world, you know. And I'm also reminded of the Apostle Paul, who said, we have these treasures in earthen vessels. He was suggesting that, you know, we have this godly vision, but we carry it around in these human bodies, and we're kind of messed up. We make bad decisions all the time. All of us do. You could do a litany of the saints of the church, and you could read, go Google it sometime. It's very interesting reading. It would make Michael Jackson look like a saint. Some of the things that the saints that we have called saints have done and gotten away with, you know, including, well, just a whole list of unpleasant, seditious activities. But they're still saints, and we still, you know, we honor their vision, not always their lifestyle and how they implemented every decision that they made. So that's my sort of disclaimer moving into this. I still celebrate the vision, the music, the poetry, the prophetic call of all of our prophets and apostles. And some of them are modern, like Michael Jackson, and some of them are ancient, like the prophet Micah, who actually shows up in one of his songs. We're going to sing it as a postlude. He actually says, beat your swords into plowshares. You know, transform your ways of war to ways of food and humanity, to means of feeding people rather than taking life. Make life, right, rather than take life. Pardon? Exactly. Prophets have been calling us to this vision for a long time, and it's been falling on deaf ears for a long time too, right? It's not just today. It's always been a hard sell, right? So just to recap the prophet Micah, he says, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord. Well, first he says, in days to come, it's going to look like this. In days to come. Chapter 3, if you read chapter 3, it's all doom and gloom. You guys are in deep trouble. You've been messing up. You've been turning away from me and my ways, and this is your payment. You know, it's all doom and gloom. And then the very next chapter is, but someday, I'm going to come and I'm going to establish a new way on the earth. And it's going to look like this. People will come to the house of Jacob that that God may teach us God's ways, and that we may walk in God's paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, teaching, insight, wisdom. These are the things that our faith is going to offer the world. And God shall judge between many peoples and shall arbitrate between strong nations far away. So this is not just a small corner of the world that we're going to get fixed up in Israel. You know, we're going to make a new king and you know, the kingdom's going to be. This is going to have earthly, global repercussions. The whole world is going to be instructed about how to live with one another. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. I love the practicality of his vision. A lot of times poets are lost in the clouds. I can vouch for that. My head is often in the clouds. Somebody has to bring me back down to earth and tell me to build a chicken coop, which I did that yesterday. I built a chicken coop. I did not have lofty plans for a chicken coop. It was all 2x4s and chicken wire, which is deadly, by the way. You know, poets and prophets, they have a way of, you know, having their heads in the clouds. Someone has to bring them down and, you know, build a chicken coop. Beat your swords into plowshares. Let's do something practical here. Let's not just change our industry of war, but let's create an industry that's helpful, right? And warfare has not proven helpful. I don't care who you are, or I just don't know that for thousands of years there's not been really one successful war. They all have unintended consequences. You know, we're reaping the, you know, what we've sown in the wars of recent years with things like ISIS. You know, everybody says that. You know, if we hadn't have done this and we hadn't done this, it's like a series of dominoes that fall. You know, maybe there is an alternative. You know, we haven't tried many. We've tried war a lot. And the practicality of the prophet's message here is just very telling. Let's give them food to eat. Let's give them food to eat. Beat their swords into plowshares. Give them tools and instruments of livelihood. It's almost too practical. That would never work. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But they shall sit under their own vines and under their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid. That's an interesting vision there, isn't it? They shall sit each under their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid. What is that about? Why would you want to sit under your own fig tree? Peaceful. It's peaceful. Nice place to sit. Comfort. But you could sit under anyone's fig tree if you just want to sit in the shade. Why sit under your own fig tree? This is a very ancient vision of something that we might have thought we invented it. Home ownership. What? No trespassing? It's ownership. It's, you know, I possess my own future. I've got my own fig tree. Get your own. You know, it's not really that so much, but it's, these people have lived under someone else's rule and oppression for so long, they don't know what it's like to own their own property, to have their own vineyard, to pick their own grapes, to sit under their own tree. Right? We saw the movie last week. I saw The Free State of Jones. An interesting movie about Reconstruction in the South after the Civil War. And all these free slaves were going to get their 40 acres and a mule. And some of them got some land. But then this thing called sharecropping came back. And it basically was the new improved slavery is what it was. They worked someone else's land, and they gave the produce of the land to someone else, and then they might get a share of it. That's why they called it sharecropping. They do all the work, and they only get a share. That's not justice. That's not what the vision of the kingdom of God is about. It's like you get to sit under your fig tree, and you get to sit under your fig tree. And if you want to share the figs with someone else, you can. They're yours to share. You don't have to do the work to grow the figs and then hope that someone gives you a fig at the end of the day. This is an ancient vision of what freedom means, right? So it's kind of an interesting vision for us today to live where we can each sit under in the, you know, in the shade of our own tree, in the productivity of our own work, and benefit from it. But then there's another piece that's really interesting. And they will no longer, or no one shall make them afraid. I mean, now we're getting into intangibles, right? I mean, figs are tangible. The fruit of the land, the crops we grow, that's all tangible stuff. But what about living in constant fear that somebody could come and take your land, your children, your property, your life? What about not having to live in fear anymore? I mean, you and I, we've got it pretty good. Some of us live in fear, mostly of our own making. I know in my case, I'm afraid of ghosts that don't really even exist. But there are people in the world who do live in fear. And they strike out in ways that are harmful to all of us. We call that terrorism. They want to create more fear in others so that they might, you know, gain a voice at the table or whatnot. I don't know why they do some of the stuff they do. But I do know that living in fear does not produce strong, healthy members of society. So what a vision. And the connection to this, this vision and Jesus is very strong. Jesus speaks out of the same prophetic community that Micah and Isaiah and others like him had. And Jesus' vision for us was that the kingdom of God is close and it's about us, right? Becoming like children. Open your hearts, open your minds, open your hands to receive the grace of God, the compassion of Christ to make the world a better place. I think I've heard that somewhere. Make it a better place. Thanks be to God. Amen.